Call to order the July 9th, 2024 business meeting of Simpsonville City Council. Clerk Clark, would you call the roll, please?
Yes, Councilmember O'Rear.
Here.
Councilmember Rue. Councilmember Williams.
Here.
Councilmember Roche. Councilmember Pinkerton.
Here.
Councilmember Hutchings.
Here.
Mayor Schumaker.
Here.
Please rise as you are able and join in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Each member of council has received a copy of the minutes. Does anyone on council have corrections? I do have a correction. Bear with me here just a moment. Under item B, the last line, under item B, it reads, "The original item with amended changes passed, yes, 6, no, 0, motion carried as amended." I want to strike that line and add these two lines. Vote on the motion to amend, comma, yes, 6, no, 0, motion carried. Vote on the main motion as amended, comma, yes, 6, no, 0, motion carried. Those are the only changes. And Council, Clerk Clark, I will share those changes with you for the official record. Any other changes? As there are no other changes, then the minutes will stand approved as amended. It is now time for our citizen comments, and we will begin with Lewis Myers, if you would come to the podium.
My name is Lewis Myers. I live at 70 Border Avenue.
Go ahead.
Mayor and Councilman, thank you very much for allowing me to speak tonight. I am the HOA president of Fox Trace Community and have been for the last 5 years. I'm here tonight to speak about the absolute carnage that has gone on with our fiber companies, and I know this is on your agenda tonight to speak about IMC. We have suffered greatly at the hands of WOW and Frontier, both. We have members that are part of the city here, Andy West and John Derby, have been extremely responsive to us and our complaints. We just have a mess I want to bring to your attention tonight. Basically, we have 366 houses. Every one of them has been touched at least twice and had their lawns dug up, had their driveways destroyed, had their water lines cut, their power lines cut, their cables cut, telephone lines, you name it, anything that comes across as infrastructure to the homes has been damaged either individually or in multiple groups. The power outage we had actually took out three of our clients. We had a client that had her sewer damaged. They had to dig up her driveway and replace her sewer, and she's had no settlement from either WOW or Frontier. This happened to be a Frontier issue. We've had four driveways that, because of the way the companies, the subcontractors, behaved and the way they worked, they dug out underneath the driveways to run what's called a torpedo boom that cuts a hole for them to put the fiber conduit underneath the driveway. They actually dug out partially underneath the driveway, so when they drove their car over it, it actually cracked, and they had to remove those driveways and repour. Why did this happen? I think it's the city issued, and I'm not putting blame on the city. You guys have to issue the permits. And the permit is issued, to the contractor Frontier or WOW, they have subcontractors that are unqualified that come out and dig up. My own personal yard has 14 holes in it. The law basically says that they're supposed to restore the property to its original condition. I've spent thousands having my yard leveled and sanded. So we want our yards returned back to what they were. We want our damages taken care of. As the HOA, I have $3,000 in irrigation damages that have not been paid for yet by these guys. So I think what we're asking from you is just to gain control over the permit, make sure that somebody's supervising and that they follow through with the laws and regulations that say restore to original condition. I'll answer any questions you have for me. I'm representing 366 homes and about 1,000 voters tonight. If you have anything you want me to talk about, I'll be glad to do that.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Myers. Okay. Next up is Tom Fox, or is it Foy?
Tom Fox. My name is Tom Fox, 231 Scottish Avenue, Fox Trace Development. And I'm here to talk to you about, we need your help. My yard, I spent $7,000 when I first moved here 11 years ago and having my yard totally taken care of and leveled and made pretty. I had Zoya grass put in. As of today, I've had my yard dug up 7 times by Spectrum, by WOW, and by Frontier. The worst has been Frontier. They've left the box that they put into the ground, they left gravel all around it, so my lawnmower picks up gravel and throws it across the street. I got lumps in my yard that I had to raise my lawnmower up to keep from scalping the grass. They planted the wrong grass. They were told that they had Zoya. It was not Bermuda. They put Bermuda down. They've not done anything. I've met with a contractor, with my HOA president and Cedar Management representative, who promised that they were going to take care of it. Yet to see them. We need a little help. Y'all gave them the permit. Nobody's following up. Nobody's helping us get this taken care of. I had two landscape companies come out and give estimates. One was $1,000 to fix my yard, and the cheapest was $850. And I don't think I should have to pay that when I didn't ask for them to dig up my yard. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, thank you, Mr. Fox. Next is Tom Van Sickles.
My name is Tom Van Sickle. I live at 17 Border Avenue. And I'm just basically here to support what Lewis and Tom have said. We're in the same boat. We've been dug up at least 5 times. Our neighbors on either side have been dug up 5 to 7 times, lost their sprinkler systems, had to replace their yards. We've tried to talk with some of the supervisors that came. Sometimes we can get here to somebody, sometimes we can't. Some of these crews, they have these people working out there Christmas Eve. They have people working in the dark at 10 o'clock at night with flashlights on their belt buckles, digging these holes. And we would just like, these things continue, we need to have somebody to tell us what the plan is. Is there a plan? And who is charge of doing, the digging and replacing all this stuff. Because we don't know how many people have signed up for these services. I'm guessing probably not very many. So there's a lot of money being spent bringing crews in from Florida, Alabama, different places, and there's not a whole lot to show from it except a lot of damage to people's properties. And these folks have said, we'd like to get your ear and get your help
with you. Thanks. Thank you, Mr. Van Sickles. Next is Jacqueline Weeks.
Hi, I am Jacqueline Weeks, and my address is 1418 Rainier Road. I am not a citizen of Simpsonville. I am here on behalf of the Fox Trace community. I am the community manager, and I work for Cedar Management Group. I've been in real estate for over 35 years. Never in my life have I ever experienced any entity that would dare begin a construction project and not take the proper time to do the mobilization. For me to be receiving phone calls in the middle of the night about someone digging outside their lawn in the dark is insane. None of the public utility companies were notified. It has been that way since the beginning. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, from the homeowners that are here, they were just equally as surprised as I was. We're helpless. Sometimes we feel powerless. I understand that infrastructure is important to civilization and is a part of progress. But at what point do we consider the needs of the residents? When I have homeowners who are struggling, trying to take their children on a trip on Thanksgiving Day weekend, and yet they wake up and there's no water in their homes because the water lines were ruptured. Senselessness. So what I'm asking for on behalf of this community is a cease and a desist for future companies coming back into this community and creating these monstrous devices that are held on their lots. Every time they come, there's another piece of equipment. That's an eyesore. And I think it's unfair because it's against our governing documents. If you were to have a statute, you would need to submit an architectural review application. But in this case, this community is suffering. And so I'm just appealing to this body to enforce some type of restitution so that at least, at the very minimum, they can receive what we were promised, to restore the properties to the way you encountered it. And if it means that you have to change from installing Bermuda grass to Zoysia, so be it. So be it. Thank you.
Thank you. That concludes our citizen comments. Moving on to our first item of business, item 6A, second reading of AXZ 2024-02, proposed annexation of property located at 211 Cherokee Drive. Mr. Derby, our planning director, will you summarize, please?
Yes, sir. In council, Mayor. No, I was just not.
Yes. Give me a moment here.
Thanks, sir. This is 211 Cherokee Drive. This is current zoning. R12 Greenville County. The applicant is participating in the city for the construction of this home to the zoning of RV residential states. Nothing has changed since the first reading to the left. I will note that it was mentioned that the ordinance had a little scribbler's error with the name on there for the middle name of the applicant, Chan with the D. That was left off. But I can answer your questions you might have.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Derby. The motion is in order. Councilmember Hutchings.
Current council, I'll make a motion to approve on second reading AXZ-2024-02 proposed annexation of property located at 211 Cherokee.
Second. Right. I have a motion from Councilmember Hutchings with a second from Councilmember Pinkerton. Discussion? Councilmember O'Rear.
John was nice enough, Mr. Derby, to speak to me the other day trying to clarify a couple of points. I drove past the property yesterday to look at it. And it looks like what I see here versus what I'm seeing there is the only encroachment on this property from the next door to that temporary structure. Is that the only encroachment? That's kind of what I see the cutout on here where it says it's pretty much temporary structure. And I'm seeing it's kind of riding lawnmower or something under it. Is that the only encroachment on this property from next door?
Well, I can say from the survey that was provided by the applicants and a portion of the overhang of the house garage from 209.
So there is a little bit of the structure on there. Yeah, and we thought, I would encourage the applicant to find a way to fix that, I guess, because I've seen things in the past personally where, and I think the applicant's relatives live next door, and I, you know, sounds like they get along fine, but I've seen people have to move fences and bust up driveways because a neighbor found out that something was on their property that someone else owned. So I would just maybe just clean that up a little bit, but I got no other issues. I'd say welcome Simpson Hill.
Council? Councilmember Pinkerton?
Yeah, Mr. Derby, thanks for clarifying that. I did talk with you or exchanged emails a couple of weeks ago about my concern about the property line. It could present a problem down the road for somebody, I'm assuming. I mean, if this was not a relative buying this property, that we wouldn't be sitting here today, probably. So, approving this, I guess, in my opinion, is approving something that's got a potential problem, but the only remedy is going to be between these two or some future down the road. Is that correct?
That's correct.
The other thing, there was a number of questions, or at least a few questions in the last meeting we had on this on the first reading. And although it was mentioned a couple of times that we were going to clarify those questions at the council meeting, even though it was suggested not to, but I'm assuming that everything that I brought up was cleared up.
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Council? On the motion to approve on second reading of AXZ 2024-02, proposed annexation of property located at 211 Cherokee Drive, all those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes. Yes.
All opposed signify by saying no. The motion carries by a vote of 5-0. Thank you, Mr. Turner. Item 6B, first reading of O-2024-03, Stormwater Development Standards Ordinance. This is my item, so I will introduce it. There have been no changes since we talked at Committee of the Whole. This is an ordinance to amend Article 10 of the Land Development Regulations that would move our stormwater requirements up from a 25-year standard to a 100-year standard. This would only apply to new developments in the city, not to any existing property owners. And just for the record and for the public, this is not the only thing that we are working on or proposing going forward to deal with stormwater issues. This is just one item. And like I say, this does put us on an equal footing with what Malden already does. So with that, I move that we approve on first reading O-2024-03, Stormwater Development Standards Ordinance.
Second.
A motion from the mayor with a second from Councilmember Hutchings.
Discussion?
Councilmember Overy.
I like this. I like it as a first step to addressing something. You know, when I ran for the seat, you know, the biggest thing I heard about was traffic, development, and stormwater. And they were interchangeable depending on who you talked to. So I like this as a first step, and the mayor mentioned that there's other things coming. And, you know, that'll be a discussion, I think, starting next month with other things. But I think this is a good first step to address, you know, long-term issues that we're having. So I'm glad we're doing this.
Councilmember Pinkerton.
I agree. I think this is a great first step. In fact, going forward, we do have other items that we're going to bring forward to help stormwater issues. I'd be happy to be a part of it. Just to give a little context, we've had some much needed rain over the last few days. Friday night, we had a little bit. Saturday night, we had, in my backyard, 2 3/4 inches of rain, another 2.5 inches the next night. In a 24-hour period, that's not a 100-year storm event, except for the fact that within a two-hour period, it does constitute and does fall into that realm of being in a 100-year storm situation because of the amount of rain we had in a short period of time. Fortunately, we didn't have issues where it flooded the street, but it did flood my neighbor's yard. It's unfortunate some of this is not going to help out with the existing neighborhoods, but I agree this is a great step forward. And keep in mind, it's going to rain again, and the more we can protect the citizens and the properties of Simpsonville, the better for it.
Councilmember Hutchings?
Just to reiterate what everyone else has said, I think this is a good first step to indicate that council is starting to address some of these issues with the stormwater problems. As I said in the committee, the whole meeting, this will have zero, little to no effect on current flooding conditions in the older properties and so forth, but it is something that will indicate that we are moving in the direction to address these problems, and we have some plans to do quite a bit of that. Flooding issues are complex, and particularly the older neighborhoods that are here, it's very difficult to address that right away. But what we're trying to do right now is do some studies and so forth to find out what we can do to alleviate that in the future. So I think this is a great idea. And some of our municipalities in the area already have this in place, some for years, so it hasn't affected them as far as that I can tell, as far as any negative effects on building and building cost and that sort of thing. So I'm all in favor.
So I'll add one comment that I think that our older neighborhoods like Poinsettia, this probably does not, like has been said, does not have much impact. But I can imagine a way that it might, because this does apply to new development. So if in the areas that drain to eventually to Poinsettia, especially along Main Street, for example, if a piece of property there were redeveloped, for example, the existing thing was taken down and something bigger and better was built, this standard would apply, and it actually could. The whole point of this is to not make it any worse for the people who already live here. That if we're going to do development, that we put in a standard that means that the people who are downstream of that development don't get the impact and runoff from this development like they potentially could today. So I think it's pretty outside call to think that might have an impact on Poinsettia, but I can imagine a way that it would. It sure makes a difference to where we have developments coming in on the fringes of Simpsonville as things are being annexed in and those developments occur. So obviously I'm in favor. Councilmember Pinkerton?
Interesting comments. So just a question. Obviously it affects developments, but do you know if it affects future road work? Does this ordinance affect potential road work? So when this passes, which I'm sure it will this have an effect on streetscape design?
Probably not, because when we're doing streetscape, we're actually removing impervious surface and replacing with a pervious surface. So typically it won't, but you know, we do often upsize stormwater pipes during that process too. We improve culverts, we, you know, locate additional culverts in the area to take on some of the runoff from the road. Now, if it's a large highway project, you know, over an area that's relatively undisturbed, then yes, it would come into play in that situation.
Well, there'll still be roads, and I had the pleasure of meeting with the engineer discussing how that effect of water does affect Poinsettia neighborhood. So I don't know what their standards are now in their design. It'd have to be at least 25 years. But if to Mayor's point, if it's some outside development affects the neighborhood, that one certainly will, I know, because we do have new storm drainage that will be coming into the neighborhood.
Council?
Mayor, I'm sorry. I believe it was Councilmember Rupp who asked this question in the committee of the whole, and I know he's not here this evening, but I did want to provide an answer. He had inquired about the additional cost to the developer in increasing the standards from 25-year to 100-year. I did speak with some civil engineers and also Greenville County Land Disturbance. A typical design and installation of a retention pond is roughly $40,000 to $50,000 for the 25-year standard. That cost would increase to roughly $60,000 for the additional 100-year storm standards. The more expensive, although maybe not monetary, but in terms of taking up property that could be developed with another home lot or two, the size of the pond would typically increase from 12,000 cubic feet to 15,000 to 20,000 cubic feet. So it's going to result in less of that development being buildable. Probably, you know, the difference between 12,000 to 15,000 to 20,000 cubic feet, I would estimate that being about two buildable lots, but it would really depend on the size of the development and where their green space is located and that type thing. But that is the answer to the question that was asked last time.
Thank you, Administrator Gracely. Just a comment on that, that those increased costs result in a value for the end user, either the business that moves in there or if it's residential, the residents who move in there, they end up with having a property that is more resilient to stormwater. Yeah, so there's increased costs that goes with it, but they are getting something for what they're paying for. So I think it's a worthwhile trade-off. So, any further comments from council? On the motion to approve on first reading of O-2024-03 Stormwater Development Standards Ordinance, all those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Yes. All opposed signify by saying no. The motion carries by a vote of 5-0. Item 6C, first reading of O-2024-04 Fiber Franchise Ordinance. Administrator Gracely, will you summarize, please?
Yes, thank you, Mayor and Council. As we discussed at Committee of the Whole, and you have been presented with the ordinance and the exhibit, which would be the franchise agreement, this is to authorize the city to enter into those agreements with various fiber optic companies. And what that does is it gives us more control over what they're doing, the impact that they're having on the residents when they dig in those neighborhoods. It also will help us control the number of providers that are going into those same areas because we have discretion through the agreement to approve or deny certain areas for these fiber optic cable companies to locate in. I know there was some discussion about the market and being able to not have a monopoly by having more than one provider, but you know, that could be determined based on the size of the neighborhood, based on the number of units, based on the company's prior track record. Wow, that's doing that. When it comes, I'm going to switch professionally. Technical difficulties. So it would allow us a little more control over the problems that are existing now because they would be required to follow the agreement as it's written. And if we have recurring problems with one company, we can deny them encroachment permits for future expansion if they're not remedying the problem in other neighborhoods where they worked. And we have, you know, in the time that these fiber optic companies have come into Simpson Mill, we've had a lot of these same issues, not just in Fox Trace, but a lot of them. There have been a few neighborhoods they've gone in and they've done a good job. Typically not Frontier, and I don't mean to call anybody out on the record, but they do seem to be the worst in terms of the impact that they're leaving behind on folks. So to summarize, this just gives us a tool that we have not previously had to try to help keep these things from happening and then, you know, more control over not only the manner in which they're doing this work, but the areas in which they are allowed to do the work.
Thank you. Motion is in order. Councilmember Hutchings.
Mayor and Council, I make a motion to approve on first reading of report of 0-2024-04 fiber franchise ordinance.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilmember Hutchings with a second from Councilmember O'Rear. Discussion? Councilmember Hutchings.
I just want to say that I appreciate the citizen comments that I mean, you can tell from those comments that there are quite a few problems that are going on. And I've probably gotten more calls on this lately from constituents than any other one subject. With a lot of times they don't really know which cable company it was or which one did the damage. And I think this will give us some controls, as Ms. Grace has mentioned, that we don't currently have. I know our city staff has been doing a great job trying to run these things down, but with this, we're going to make these companies commit to some things before we allow them to do this. So I think this will give us some control that we don't have, and I'm very much in favor of it.
Councilmember O'Rear.
I'll let Councilmember Pinkerton go. He raised his hand at the same time. I'll collect a couple of
points.
All right. I'm pretty much going to let everything get through the committee of the whole because I want to hear more about it. And I think everyone deserves to hear more about it because, you know, if we'd have done something there, we wouldn't have heard the comments today. I had questions in committee of the whole, and Administrator Gracie was nice enough to sit down with me this week, explain a couple things among other topics. I do have concerns, and I heard all the concerns. I've actually had people dig through my backyard, which, as far as I know, is nobody's right away. That's my backyard. I just woke up to a trench one day, and their explanation when I finally hunted them down, literally through the flags, I had to find who owned those flags and found out who it was, and I called them, and I'm like, what's going on? Well, your neighbor wanted our service, so we had to come put a box in between your two houses and run a line. I'm like, no one asked me. So that being said, I understand this, but I also would like to see individual protections and individual and teeth in these agreements for individuals. Because if the city signs an agreement with someone, that leaves only the city with recourse. If there's something in here about individual recourse, if they don't do this, then an individual can step forward, because without teeth, no one's going to behave. I mean, you can put a law in the books, but if you don't have an enforcement arm or a punishment for it, no one's going to abide by it. So this is, it looks to me on the surface, unless I'm wrong, this is an agreement between just the city and these companies. So if the companies don't behave, the only person that has recourse, the only entity, is the city, if the city so chooses. I think we need to have language added in here that's going to give individuals recourse, give the taxpayers, the citizens, because, I mean, we all have right-of-ways. We all understand this. We understand, but when people are doing something in the middle of the night, that doesn't seem right. Or if they come destroy your property and won't even communicate with you, there's a reason for that. It's because on the surface, they don't have to. And if they don't have to, they won't. So what I would like to see, and I did have a question here, what is a four calls, what would be a four calls termination of this agreement? Only thing it says in here is you have to give 90 days, which is standard, but what would be a four calls termination of this
what
agreement?
What section is that?
Section 3, terms of agreement, unless the party gives 90 days written to terminate the agreement. I mean, obviously, you know, there's got to be a four calls, because this is a very lengthy contract. This isn't like a year-to-year thing. This is 20 years. So when you take something on for 20 years, some of us may not even live that long. I don't know. But that's a lengthy contract. So when you buy something, you bought it. And if these companies aren't going to do a good job for the taxpayers of this city, then there needs to be teeth in here to extract from them if they will behave. Go ahead.
So my response to that is that because this is public right-of-way, we can't mandate in this agreement that there be restitution for individual property owners because the right-of-way is public. I know that's hard to hear because it is their yards and they are required to maintain their yard up to the pavement. So it seems like a bit of a double standard, I know. But what this agreement does do is it requires certain amount of liability insurance and a bond so that if they have destroyed a neighborhood like what's happened in Fox Trace, we can call in that bond and we can make repairs ourselves with that bond. So that's the recourse that we would have that we don't currently have because they're not required for an encroachment permit to carry any of that insurance or bonding. So that's the main thing that we would be able to then go in and make sure that they are, there's a bit of a financial incentive now for them to do it right where they haven't had that before. Because, you know, nobody wants to have their bond called in because it makes it difficult for them to have lines of credit for anything else. It makes it difficult for them to work in other communities. And we set certain parameters for what those dollar amounts have to be, which is way more power than we currently have.
Well, the city has got to be willing to take up that mantle.
Yes.
If citizens come and say, this is what they've done.
Yes.
I can prove this, but I'm going to need you to step forward and make this company do this for me. That's what the city has to do. We're not here to protect fiber optic companies.
No.
We're here to protect the citizens of the city. And we all, like I said, I've been, I won't say victim, I've seen the flags in my yard too, and I have a considerable right-of-way in my front yard, and I know that, I know buying the house, but you can't just come tear things to shreds and do a halfway job of trying to repair it and then walk away. The city's going to have to pick up the mantle for that, and I think that's what we need to make sure is in writing, that if the citizen doesn't have direct recourse, the city needs to do right by its citizens and take up that mantle for them when they bring a just cause. I mean, if they can come and prove their case and come to the city and say, hey, they have damaged, here's what it's cost me, here's what I've had to do, and y'all need to make this right for me. And if that's in there, then I'll be happy to move forward with it. But that there's got to be protections to the citizens of Simpsonville more than what they have now.
Well, there are the financial protections. So now there is an agreement in place where we require them to carry that amount on a bond and liability insurance in case there's any sort of accident that happens on the property, you know, that involves the homeowner. And we don't currently have that because there are no agreements now. You know, all of this is relatively new. It is a result of federal funding that has come down to expand fiber optic to, it's supposed to be rural communities. I don't know why there's such an influx of these fiber companies here, probably because there are more customers here.
Yes, it's where the people are.
And so, you know, it's not doing what it was intended to do, and now we're all suffering as a result. But this is our attempt to gain some control over that, which we currently do not have.
I would like to see some language dealing with timetables of things. We have timetables for other things about buildings and developing in the city. The timetables of when they've completed their work, of when the repair to back to as close to the original state as possible has to occur, 30 days, 60 days, whatever is reasonable, that would give an assurance to the folks that are in that right of way that there is a timetable. The company has to work in that timetable to come back and repair what they've dug up. I'd like to see some language like that. That would be great because that gives someone in writing, hey, you know, they have 60 days to fix this and get it as close to it as they can to the way it was before. Because if they're going to do business with the city for 20 years minimum, then they need to do it right up front and right by the people that are here now. So, I mean, I'd like to see some language that could you know, put them kind of on a clock as it comes to the repair of the work they do through the rights way. That'd be possible.
We can take a look at it because there is an additional reading before this is finalized.
Yeah.
So that gives us time to explore that.
Yeah, because there just needs to be something for the citizens, because, I mean, I understand everyone wants fast internet and 150,000 TV channels and all that kind of stuff. But a lot of people take pride in their yards and their properties, and it takes money to recoup those things if they're plowed through like that. So if we could look into that, that'd be great. I'll be happy to pass it on to the next reading and see what that looks like. Thank you. Sorry to take up so much time, Angela.
Yes, of course, I appreciate the citizens' comments as well. Experienced some of this myself. Understand it. I do understand that my front yard's got quite a bit of right of way, and I had to stand toe to toe with the first group that came through. And I appreciate your comments on the pond. I know I see we have a commercial general liability for loss and damage, and we're dealing with an insurance company. But the pond is only $50,000. I'm wondering if that's enough. I mean, a big company can sneeze at $50,000. I haven't worked in the industry with large contractors. If somebody was to hold me accountable for 50 grand and I was going to go, I wouldn't worry about it. So that's another question, I guess. So this is $50,000 fit the bill? Because typically, what they're going to do is go buy that bond through an insurance company. And if they have got the wherewithal to be in business in the first place, they should be insurable, especially if they can afford the $2 million liability coverage they have. Certainly they can cover a $50,000 bond. So I would question as well, and I'm assuming our attorney did a lot to write this up, maybe ask him if we could look at something that has a little bit more teeth in the bond.
Sure.
I would, if no one else is going to go, then I will echo that as well. And it seems to me, like listening to the comments from just a small handful of people, that it'd be pretty doggone easy to get to $50,000. And they already have far exceeded that in their neighborhood, which makes me think of when we do this franchise agreement and do permitting, it's a big difference between doing their neighborhood versus doing my neighborhood that only has 43 homes in it, where a $50,000 bond might be enough for my neighborhood, but they might need a $250,000 bond. And if you're going into a place like Powderhorn or all of Poinsettia, I agree. I think we need to either have a sliding scale or just make the bond big enough that it'll cover it no matter what it is they're asking for. Administrator Gracely, are we currently holding off on any new permits?
Right.
While we have this under consideration?
There are two other fiber optic companies that have asked for encroachment permits, and we are holding off on issuing any more permits until council passes this so that we can make them all enter this into this agreement.
And pick one. Wow, Frontier.
Ripple, Google.
Google.
Yeah.
They want to come into a neighborhood that they haven't been digging in yet. They would have to get a new permit to do that. So they're currently on pause while we have this under consideration.
So they would all sign the agreement at the moment council has authorized the agreement to be entered into with these various companies, but each time they dig in a different area, they would still have to apply for an encroachment permit.
Right. Okay. Councilmember Hutchings.
Question or two about the agreement itself. Is this a model agreement that we were adopting, basically, or was this written?
The only other community that I know that uses this, and they just started, is the city of Greer. And I have to talk with my colleagues in Fountain and Malden, and I've shared this with them so that they can also have their councils consider it. I think if we're all cracking down, there's safety in numbers where they know that we are watching and that they are mandated to have this agreement in it. I really think it's going to help make a smoother road forward for everyone.
So was a lot of this language crafted by our attorney, or was it an agreement that we...
So our city attorney is also the city attorney for Greer. And I was speaking with my colleague who's the city administrator in Greer, and he mentioned this, and I said, we need to look at that. And so he sent it to me. I spoke with our city attorney about it, and now, you know, it's the same language that the city of Greer is currently using. They've only had this in place for a few months, though, like maybe 3 or 4. It's very current for them.
Well, I too would like to see our attorney address the issues that were brought up for our next reading.
I'll take those back to him and see if we can, certainly we can raise the bond amount. I don't think that's a question that's easy enough to do. The other concern about having some, you know, direct coverage for the individual homeowners, I don't know that we can legally do because it's right of way. So they don't have to allow anybody on their private property. So if they did, then they would, you know, probably have some sort of agreement in place with whoever is asking to do that digging. You know, my only experience with it is if I've lived in a house and Charter had to, you know, install cable and internet, and then they have to come back and bury that, but that's at my request. So, you know, they have my permission to do that. But with public right-of-way, there are certain legalities that I need to address with the city attorney.
Councilmember Pinkerton.
Thank you. You brought up a good, interesting point question for me. So our general liabilities says it's against all claims, loss, cost, damage, expense, or liability from loss of life or damage or injury to persons or property arising from act work activity. So property is open there. Mm-hmm. Does that include, is that only their personal property, or does that include the right-of-way property?
That would include everything that's damaged.
So it's within the right-of-way.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they're only supposed to be within the right-of-way. They're not
correct.
Supposed
not
to be
on. To their, these fine people's point, and I understand it, you come ripping through your yard, mm-hmm. and you damage your sprinkler or damage your grass, mm-hmm. so if they don't cover it, we'd have to go after their insurance, which probably has a deductible nonetheless, but I'm just questioning, does it include the property in the right way?
Yes.
Okay. Councilmember Rory.
Yeah, I just want to make sure we, you mentioned a couple things we're going to work on, try to work on the timetable things about mm-hmm. about any kind of repairs. And is there a notification requirement for, I mean, I know when things come before the Planning Commission, they have to give a 15-30-day notice on certain things. You know, the thing is when they roll up blind into your yard, you don't know who people are coming in your yard. It could be the right way, that's fine, but they don't know who they are.
Right.
Is there any requirement for notification for this kind of work, whether it's to the city, to the homeowner, or anything? Is it something that they have to notify us, and that way we can at least put it on the website?
They have to notify us because they have to get that encroachment permit, so we know where they are. I have never understood, this is another thing that makes no sense to me, why, if you're installing fiber optic in a neighborhood, why you wouldn't go put a door knocker or something on a resident's door to say, we're here, we'd love to have you as a customer. It doesn't make any sense the way any of these companies are behaving, because they're costing themselves customers. You know, these people are upset. I would be upset. I would not want to do business with the company that destroyed my yard or broke a sprinkler or planted zoysia. I have fescue, and if somebody planted a different type of grass, I would be furious about that. You know, even though it's in the right-of-way, it's still part of my yard, and it all needs to look uniform. And if I spent $7,000 making my yard look the way I want it to, and I'm required to maintain it out to the curb, it needs to look like that. So they have been very careless and reckless. And I think it's, we have this money, we're going to go out and do this as fast as we can. They're not taking precautions. They're not doing things like introducing themselves to the neighbors when they do go in a neighborhood. You know, they're losing their customer base. It defies all common sense to me.
I think it'd be a good idea, since they're notifying us, if, let's just say, we'll just use them as now Fox Trace. We're going into Fox Trace, mm-hmm. and here's the company, to at least for the city to put on their website mm-hmm. and Discover Simpsonville, and to at least if they were to not contact any of us, but go to the website, they could say, oh, there it is. That's who this is. That's what's going on. and could see that it has been there and there was an attempt, because I'm with you, that's just kind of dumb. I'm going to go out in front of that if I'm the company and say, here's who we are, here's what we're doing. Could be a little issue for a minute getting these down, but we'd love to show you what we can do afterward, but they don't. But it would be nice if the city's entered in this agreement, if they could post on the website when they are notified when Acme company's going to start laying their fiber optics and box trays. That way the residents can at least go to our website or Facebook page or whatnot and see that the city has made an attempt to notify them if the company didn't. And if the company does too, that's great. We'll get covered by then, but at least it's fair warning. You know, they're coming to you right away and here's who they are.
So, yes.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Councilmember Hutchings.
One other point, we talked about it in our last meeting, a lot of this is funded by ARPA funds, correct?
Correct.
And at our conference, I know a lot of the focus was on rural communities, as you mentioned. You know, part of the problem may be that they're, you know, looking at the funding more than they're looking at the customer right now. So
they are.
That could be a possibility that is fueling some of this growth without concern for the customer right now.
Yes.
Administrator Griesley, what mechanism is in this ordinance that allows the city to limit the number of utilities?
It's general language, but it does say that the city has the right to, you know, provide the encroachment permit or not to provide it. So it doesn't necessarily spell out we only allow two fiber optic companies. It's really still up to us to determine if they're going to receive an encroachment permit or not. And if we believe that there are too many utilities in that area, you know, already say there are already two fiber optic companies and another one comes and says we want to install, we would say no to that because that would be unreasonable.
Thank you. The reason I bring that up is that I've been fortunate. My neighborhood just went from being dug up, but I was one of the lucky ones where they only dug in my yard once. A lot of my neighbors, it was three and four times, and I find it quite believable that they dig in somebody's yard 11 and 12 times, and you've had multiple utilities come through doing this. We've only had the one so far. So I hear you, and my first question was, what stops the next one and the next one and the next one? How many do we have to have? And I think that a very good point was made down here that this is really probably not so much about, they're not thinking so much about, I want to get these future customers. I'm not worried so much about getting the future customers. I'm worried about getting this installed before the other guy gets there.
So, and before the money expires.
And before the money expires and all of that. So, yeah, so I'm glad we are holding everybody at bay while we get this nailed down and then have some teeth in it to make sure that it's done reasonably in the future. Any further discussion from council? On a motion to approve on first reading, O-2024-04 fiber franchise ordinance, all those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Yes. All opposed signify by saying no. Motion carries by a vote of 5-0. Item 6D, purchase and placement of a pump track for recreational purposes. This has been brought forward by Councilmembers Rubin and Hutchings. Councilmember Hutchings, would you summarize for us, please?
As the mayor mentioned, Councilmember Rubin and I brought this before council. Based on some requests we'd had from some of our constituents wanting something for the younger folks to do, to have a place to for recreation of a different type. And the original plan we had worked on was to build a traditional pump track at Heritage Park. If you look at the slide that's up down, you'll see on the left, that is a traditional track that's currently exists at Gateway Park and Travelers Rest. Those type of parks are dirt tracks, and they're fairly expensive, I'd say, to build. And also, we found out with the Heritage Park that we had a lot of issues we needed to address, such as wetland issues and some other things before we could actually build a park there. So Ty Houck, who's the recreation director for Greenland County, brought a proposal before council. There is a place called the Flying Rabbit up on Barnes Road, and it's a recreation facility, and they have this particular prefab pump track there. And he took the delegation there to take a look at it, and the owner is wanting to sell that track for half of what he paid for it, which is a good deal for someone. And so we looked at that, and Ms. Gracie and others thought that this would be a good thing to look at for us to purchase for the city of Simpsonville. And then we were looking at placement of it, and in my ward, we have Alder Park, which is currently, in my opinion, underutilized. At one point in time, we had a ballpark there, and it was very popular. We did put in a walking trail a while back, and that's been good. But this track, I think, would bring new life to Alder Park, and the city has agreed to install, if we purchase this, to install this at Alder Park. It's a kind of a plug-and-play type track, so we can put it together in whatever configuration works for our park. And my understanding is we have enough track to build a regular track and a smaller one for younger kids to use as well, so we can get a lot more use out of it that way. Also, we discussed this as being something that, will, like I said, will bring more recreation opportunities to our neighborhood and to the city in general. And we can fund this without through our H&A funding and not impact our tax base at all. So my recommendation is that we take a look at this and purchase this track to install it at Alder Park. So I would like to make a motion to that effect. Mayor and Council, I make a motion to purchase and place pump track for recreational purposes at Alder Park.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilmember Hutchings with a second from Councilmember Pinkerton. Discussion? Councilmember O'Meara.
I think this is awesome, actually. I think we get up here, we talk about infrastructure of sewer, stormwater, and police, and fire, everything else. I think we can get lost in the shuffle is Parks and Rec. And Parks and Rec, I'm a kid from Simpsonville. You know, I just ran into a picture of my house when I was 9 years old playing for the Simpsonville Pirates. I can't tell you how fun that was for me, any parks, any sports. And that's part, I think, of the greatness of this community is not only do we, you know, have homes for people to live in, we have things for people to do. And when you have people with younger kids, or even, I think the mayor even challenged me to get on this thing, and I'm not a young kid. I think this is part of the draw for Simpsonville. I think it's a wonderful idea. I think it's a great placement for it. I think it'll get a lot of use. I think it's extremely durable. It should last past me. And if I hurt myself on this, it's all the mayor's fault. But I appreciate Councilmember Rubin, Councilmember Hutchings for doing this. I think it's going to be a great benefit for the community.
Councilmember Hutchings.
I failed to mention, too, that this can be used not only for bikes, but for skateboarding as well. So it'll add another dimension to that. And also, Councilmember Williams reached out to me and would like to work on this as well. This is also her ward. She and I share the Westwood neighborhood, our wards do. So she would like to work with us on this, and I certainly appreciate that. We're going to get together and get some ideas working on how we can make this a very popular thing for our park. And I must say that the feedback I've gotten so far has been pretty much all positive. I haven't had any negative comments so far on this. I think it's going to be something that the community will welcome.
I just want to thank Administrator Grace Lee for finding this, and thank Council Members Hutchings and Roop for going and looking at it, looking at, you know, what the other options were. I think this is a great plan. I'm totally in favor of it. And just so the record is clear, I'm not challenging any council member to get on it. What I said was, if you do, there will be video. So, any further discussion? Councilmember Hutchings.
Say one more thing, I'm sorry. If you get a chance, go up to this existing park now, the Flying Rabbit, and look at that track, and also the park in general up there. They have zip lining and so forth. At some point in time, I'd like to see us look at some things like that for Simpsonville as well. So take a look at that when you get a chance. And hopefully soon it'll be the pump track will be in Simpsonville.
Thank you. Any further discussion? On the motion to approve purchase and placement of a pump track for recreational purposes at Alder Park, all those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Yes. All opposed signify by saying no. That motion carries with a vote of 5-0. That concludes all of our business for this council meeting.